two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, are you ready to add a sprinkle of joy to your day? Then you need to check out Add to Cart. Hi, I'm Sujan Pak.
And I'm Kulap Vilaysack. We're your hosts, and on this show, we talk about the things we buy, the things we buy into, and what it says about who we are.
That's right. Each week, we're going to have some honest and maybe, you know, a little TMI conversations about all the fabulous, weird, wonderful things we're adding to or ditching from our carts. You know, we talk about beauty products, latest health trends, philosophies we're passionate about. Nothing is off limits on this podcast.
We're diving deep into everything we and our guests buy into and exploring what it reveals about who we truly are. We're going to decide what's worth the investment, be it money or emotions.
Add to Cart from Lemonada Media has new episodes out on Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
People listening to this can't see me, but I'm a fat woman living in a very fat phobic society. And I think I was like, had just kind of started doing some of this work on myself about body image and diet culture. And I was with a partner and I was naked and he told me to turn around slowly. And I was like, I was having such a strong reaction to it, like very defensive and stressed out. I think most women are familiar with like the constant daily catalog of everything that's wrong with your body every time you see it, right? And so my brain immediately just went to like whatever the like top 20 chart was that week, which was like, your breasts are too saggy, your stomach's too big, you have a double chin, your hair is frizzy, too much hair there and not enough hair somewhere else. I sometimes just really think men would be shocked if they knew what goes on. Like what is happening in a woman's brain? Like until you go in there and learn how to like garden and prune and change it, it is just like, my brain was just like 24/7 constant. I was just assuming that he shared all the negative thoughts I had about my body and that that's what he would be thinking about, because if I looked at myself in the mirror naked, that's what I would be thinking about, you know? And he was sort of like, okay, what's going on? Like, why, you know, like what is coming up for you? What are you feeling? And I said, I really don't like the feeling that I'm being evaluated. And he was just kind of like befuddled, like blown away and baffled. And he was like, I'm not critiquing it. I'm not evaluating it. I'm enjoying it. I'm appreciating it. Like, it's like, I want to look at you because I like the way you look. And I want to like enjoy that. It was just such a like powerful contrast that in my mind, if you're going to look at a female body, especially my body, it's just to critique it and see what could be better. Just that was such a like brain-breaking moment for me, that like women are taught that anytime someone's looking at their body, they're critiquing it. And in fact, in a healthy sexual dynamic, like that's not why your partner's looking at your body. They're not being like, well, I want to check for your cellulite, right? They're like, they're like, this is hot. I like looking at it. It's right. It's satisfying for me to look at you. That's why I'm doing it. I mean, I actually think it's amazing any woman can take her clothes off without having like a nervous breakdown, because that's all you're ever taught, is that there's something wrong with your body. It doesn't look the way it should. The fact that anyone can take off their clothes and not lose their minds, I think, is kind of a testament to the human sex drive and evolution. We're like still willing to go through that. Hi, I'm Cara Lowenthal, and you are listening to Good Sex. I'm a feminist confidence coach who teaches women how to identify the ways that living in our society have taught them to think about themselves. To me, good sex is freely and mutually engaged in, and both partners are having an experience that is physically and emotionally pleasurable. So I think that when it comes to sort of people's thoughts about pleasure, who's entitled to receive pleasure, whose job it is to provide pleasure, right? Men are taught that sexual pleasure is something they can experience and enjoy, and that their job is to like go out and get it, right? And that like in a sexual encounter, straight men don't go into the sexual encounters being like, well, I don't know. I guess like, we'll see if I enjoy this or I orgasm. Of course, sometimes that happens, but like most of the time, that's not what they're socialized to think sex is about. Whereas women are socialized to believe that, number one, that their desire is receptive, right? So like men are socialized to think that their desire sort of exists or is caused by desiring a certain woman. And then they're supposed to like go out and get it, but sort of the desire can just be there and then be acted on. And women are taught to believe that what should turn them on or what does turn them on is being desired. So being the object of desire is what is supposed to be erotic for a woman, being wanted, not doing the wanting. And so I think like just when you start from that premise and then you add in the sort of idea that, you know, a man's sexual pleasure is like assumed and a woman's sexual pleasure is like a bonus, right? Or like, it's rare enough that like, it's something that a man would brag about to be like, I always, like, I, you know, I've like, if I'm on online dating sometimes, you see the profiles, it's like men being like, I always make sure you orgasm. And I'm like, is this a question? Excuse me? Like, this is not, that's like me being like, I won't punch you in the junk. Like, this is just should be assumed that that's what's going to happen. And so I think you add all of that to women being socialized to think that their purpose is to be sexually pleasing or provide sexual pleasure. And then you end up in a situation where women are very uncomfortable receiving pleasure. This is very heteronormative, but this is kind of the dynamic we're talking about. Although I think this happens in same-sex relationships too. Obviously you have the same socialization, but a lot of women get uncomfortable with men going down on them, right? With oral sex, even with sort of hand manual sex, like anything where that's the main activity is giving the woman pleasure. A lot of women are very uncomfortable with that. And I think it's a combination of things. It's like you feel very vulnerable, I think, because all that focus is on you. It's just like getting up on a stage. If you're uncomfortable with how you look or how you speak, it's like nothing else is happening. All the attention is directed at you. And so your brain is like running with all the things that you're worried about. And as we were just discussing, women are taught that their bodies are like not good enough and dirty and weird and gross and, you know, supposed to look like blow up sex dolls with like no hairs or creases or pimples or smells, like not an animal, just a rubber being. So like all of that stuff can come up. I often coach women around anxiety about taking too long to orgasm, having difficulty orgasming, not being confident in asking for what they want to orgasm. So I think all of that adds up.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few, and of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
But then there's also like this other level where that's also the stereotype about what it's like. And I coach a lot of women who have the opposite problem, which is that they want sex more than their male partners. And because of the same socialization, that screws them up too, right? It's like there's no way to win with patriarchy. If they want sex more and their partner does, the way that women are socialized makes them feel like there's something desperate about that. If the man is not desiring you, how are you supposed to feel sexy? And I will coach somebody the other day who was like, my husband never initiates sex. He's always up for when I initiate and we have great sex, but I think I have to like divorce him about this. And I was like, what are you talking about? Right? Like, this is, I mean, I understand that thought process, right? Because women are so taught that their self-esteem should rest on being the object of desire that a man tries to get. But like, that's an insane product of socialization when you're like, I can have amazing sex on demand. My partner's always up for it, but I only ever have to even think about it if I want it. And the sex is great. This is terrible. I should break up with him. right? Like that is a hilarious brain outcome of patriarchy. I'm a big fan of what I call baby step or neutral thoughts or ladder thoughts. Those are all different words for just like not trying to go straight to like, I'm an amazing sexy goddess, but just like a little factual thought. Like you could practice thinking, it's possible that given that my partner wants to have sex with me, they find me attractive. Right? Like that they like my body. That's possible. Or it's possible, you know, it's like women who've been married for 10 years, always having sex with the lights off and their clothes on. Like, it's possible my partner does know what my body looks like. Like, we think we're like pulling this big like heist, right? I used to be like this, but before I did body image work, it was like, I would feel attractive with my clothes on and then I would be nervous about taking my clothes off as if the person that I was about to have sex with had never seen a naked woman before. Or even a naked fat woman. Like, the internet exists.
Welcome.
Your partner has seen naked people like you before, mostly, right? So, like, we think it's like some huge reveal. Like, 8 tentacle arms are going to come out and they're going to be shocked. So really practicing like those baby step thoughts. I mean, that is the foundation of all the work I do. I always say like your thought you're trying to practice should be so uninspiring that you would never put it on like a Pinterest graphic or like embroider it on a pillow. Like, we're not going from my partner secretly hates my body to I'm an amazing sexy goddess overnight. That's not how your brain works. Just like you don't walk into the gym and be like, I've never lifted weights. I think I'd like to deadlift 500 pounds now. Like, that's how you break your back. Start with like a little thing and then you move up again a little more and then a little more, right? And you just notice what comes up. So if you initiate sex and you get rejected, you write down what you think and feel, and your brain will say a lot of really mean stuff to you because that's what it's been taught to say. And then you have to choose like, okay, do I want to keep thinking this now that I know, right? A lot of our thinking is unconscious. Nothing wrong with you that you've been thinking this way, but like now that you're aware, it's like if you found a new room in your house, you walked in and it was like there were raccoons living in there. It's like, okay, well, now I know there's raccoons in the house. Am I gonna just shut the door and ignore it and let the raccoons live there? Or should I try to like trap them and put them outside? So am I gonna now try to practice believing something a little bit different and then move my way on up? If anything that I have talked about today has really resonated with you, then I encourage you to check out my podcast, which is called Unfuck Your Brain. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. You can find me on any of your social media by my name, the only person with my name in the world. And you can also go to unfuckyourbrain.com. Thank you for listening to Good Sex, and get out there and have some good sex.
Good Sex is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Claire Jones and Matthew Simonson. Our supervising producers are Chrissy Pease and Jorge Olivares, with executive producers Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova-Kramer. Music is by Dan Molad, with additional music from APM Music. Sound design is by Matthew Simonson. If you like Good Sex, the show, not, you know, why don't you rate and review us? Listen and follow for new episodes each week wherever you're listening right now. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people, and we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Freedom! Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm Scott Aukerman, and together we make up the show Freedom! We're comedians from Los Angeles who are also friends.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? And on our podcast, we just chat with each other, have fun, play games. It's just a good hang.
We just talk about everything that's happened in our lives ever before and up to now and what will happen next.
We see the future.
So the new season's out now. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get them.
Wherever.
Listen,
wherever.
Bye.
Freedom!